Answers with Ken Ham, a 12-part video series defending the Bible from the very first verse. Today's question, dinosaurs in the Bible? And now, Ken Ham.
Well, how many of you have heard of these creatures? Parasaurolophus, Pachycephalosaurus, Struthiomimus, Tenostrophius, Allosaurus, Suchosaurus, Brontosaurus, Tyrannosaurus. Heard of those creatures? What am I talking about? Dinosaurs. And of course, everyone wants to know about dinosaurs. And how do dinosaurs fit with the Bible? And how do we explain dinosaurs? In fact, that's one of the most asked questions I do get asked as I travel around. And I find most Christians don't know what to do with dinosaurs. Some people even say they didn't exist because they're so equated with millions of years and evolution. I mean, what happens? You go along to a museum and where your father or someone's told you dinosaurs didn't exist and you see all those bones. What are those bones, Dad? What bones? I don't see any bones. Well, of course we see bones. But how do we explain dinosaurs? Well, what we need to do is put on our biblical glasses and to start from the Bible and build a way of thinking to take to dinosaurs. One of the problems we have today is that people tend to start outside the Bible, listen to what man is saying and take those ideas to the Bible and say, how do we fit with this the Bible? How do we fit it with the Bible? But we shouldn't do it that way. We shouldn't start from man's ideas. We should start from the Bible, should put in our biblical glasses, and when we understand what the Bible says about the history of the universe, it gives us a whole way of thinking to explain the things of this world. For instance, remember the history of the universe from beginning to end, that God created a perfect world, marred by sin, death as a consequence. The animals were originally vegetarian before sin. Then we have the flood of Noah's day, the event of the Tower of Babel. Jesus Christ becomes a man, dies on a cross, raised from the dead. One day there'll be a new heavens and a new earth. That's the history of the universe, isn't it? From beginning to end. And what I try to get Christians to understand is that when you use that as the foundation for your thinking, you have a way of thinking to then take to fossils and to the animals and plants and to dinosaurs, and we'll find that dinosaurs are not a mystery. For instance, does God tell us when he made Tyrannosaurus Rex? Well, wait a minute. Does God tell us when he made land animals? Which day? Day six, right? He made land animals on day six. Were dinosaurs land animals? Yes. So if dinosaurs were land animals and land animals were made on day six and T-Rex is a dinosaur and that's a land animal, does God tell us when he made T-Rex? The answer is yes. He made T-Rex on day six. And you know who lived beside the land animals on day six? God also made the first two people, Adam and Eve. So therefore, on the basis of the Bible, I can say, I know dinosaurs live with people, right? Absolutely, if I speak with the authority of the Word of God. And I can prove it to you anyway. I have a photograph that Eve took in the Garden of Eden. And so there you can see dinosaurs living with people. But people say, wait a minute, but the word dinosaur, I mean, it's not in the Bible. That's right, the word dinosaur is not in the Bible. Neither is the word email in the Bible. Email came after the curse too, by the way. But the word dinosaur was invented in 1841. In fact, the word dinosaur was invented by an Englishman, Sir Richard Owen. He'd found the bones, or been given the bones of Iguanodon and Megalosaurus, and he said, we need a name for these creatures, so he invented the name dinosaur from two Greek words, means terrible lizard, or great big monster. See, when you think about it, the King James Bible was first translated into English in 1611, but the word dinosaur wasn't invented until 1841. So you really wouldn't expect to find the word dinosaur then in that particular translation. But I do believe you find a word that means much the same. Has anyone heard of these creatures? Dragons. I'm sure you've heard of stories like St. George and the Dragon. In fact, there are even legends about Alexander the Great fighting a great dragon in India. You know, when you go to the country of Wales, the national emblem on the flag of Wales is a dragon. And there are many dragon legends from countries all over the world. I remember seeing a book in the British Museum in London, in a glass case, the Anglo-Saxon Chronicles, written 1,000 years ago, goes back 1,000 years before that in British history, describes the animals living beside people, describes the dragons, and they sound just like dinosaurs. And I think that the dragon legends are actually stories based on people's encounters with creatures that today we call dinosaurs. In fact, it's interesting that in the Old Testament, the word dragon occurs quite a number of times, and in most instances, you can substitute the word dinosaur, and it really does fit. If you look at the book of Isaiah, for instance, or Isaiah, as they say in America, I don't know how you get Isaiah out of Isaiah, but in chapter 43, verse 20, it talks about the dragons and the owls. And then in Jeremiah chapter 14, verse 6, it talks there about the dragons. You see, I believe that dragons really were what we call today dinosaurs. But not only does the Bible talk about land dragons, it also talks about dragons that live in the water. In fact, in Isaiah chapter 27, verse 1, there's a mention there of the dragon that is in the sea. In fact, Leviathan is the name of that dragon. It's described in detail in Job chapter 41. And in Psalm 74, verse 13, it talks about the dragons in the waters. And I'm sure we've heard of creatures like the plesiosaur, or creatures maybe like the great Kronosaurus, which is based on a skeleton found in Queensland. I think maybe these are the dragons that the Bible is referring to. But I'm sure we've also heard of flying dragons. You heard of pterodactyls, like your pteranodon, or your rhamphorhynchus. A rhamphorhynchus sort of looks like a flying serpent, if you like. You know, in the Bible, in the book of Isaiah, chapter 30, verse 6, we read there about a fiery flying serpent. You see, many people have sort of glossed over those particular words, but I believe that they're references to these sorts of creatures that evolutionists say lived millions of years ago. And I certainly don't believe they lived millions of years ago. By the way, in many of the modern translations, you'll find they might use words like jackal or something like that for dragon. We have to be very careful that we don't try to impose, you know, modern animals on some of these names, where in actual fact, if you go back to the original Hebrew word, says dragon. I think many of these references, the land dragons, are referring to dinosaurs, for instance. Well, dinosaurs mentioned in the Bible, dinosaurs living beside Adam and Eve, people say, but they would have been frightened of them because they're such great big monsters. You know, people have the wrong idea about dinosaurs. We look at a T-Rex, might look at a fully grown T-Rex, 6 foot long jaw, standing 50 foot long, 15 foot high or so. But in actual fact, most dinosaurs were small. Do you know what the average size of a dinosaur skeleton is from across the earth? The average size of a dinosaur skeleton that we found is the size of a sheep. That's right. That's the average size. Some were very large, some were small, some were as small as chickens. If that had survived to today, we would have had Kentucky Fried Dinosaur instead of Kentucky Fried Chicken. So that would be interesting, wouldn't it? Going along and buying a drumstick or something like that. But then people say, now, wait a minute. Okay, so dinosaurs weren't all that big. Some were, but the majority were rather small or medium-sized. But nonetheless, Adam still would have been frightened of them. Why? I mean, you look at T-Rex. You look at those teeth. I mean, if I was Adam, I would have run in the other direction. Well, if I was Adam, I wouldn't have run in the other direction. Well, why is that? Well, what did dinosaurs eat? Well, some people say, I guess they could eat anything they wanted to eat. Well, we need to start with the Bible, don't we? When we start with Genesis, in Genesis chapter 1, verse 29 and 30, and we've gone over this in this series a number of times, God told Adam and Eve in chapter 1, verse 29, to only eat fruits, plants, and he told the animals only to eat plants. In fact, it wasn't until after the flood that God said we could eat meat, which is why we can eat meat today. Originally, Adam and Eve and the animals were all vegetarian. And the reason for that fits with the fact of what the Bible tells us, that death, bloodshed, disease, and suffering is a consequence of sin. Again, I want to emphasize, as Christians, we can't believe in millions of years of death, disease, and suffering before sin. That is opposite to what the Bible teaches. Because as soon as you believe in millions of years, you have all these fossils, supposedly millions of years old, and they show evidence of not just death, but disease, suffering, bloodshed, all sorts of diseases in fossil dinosaur bones, by the way. Diseases like cancer and arthritis and gout and all sorts of diseases. At the end of the sixth day of creation, God said everything was very good. There wasn't any disease in the world. The world wasn't full of cancer. The animals were vegetarian. Man was vegetarian. In fact, our diet sort of looks something like this. That looks really nice, doesn't it? That's because it comes from Australia, that's why. But then people say to me, well, wait a minute. Look at T-Rex, look at those sharp teeth. He's obviously a meat eater. No, just because an animal has sharp teeth doesn't mean he's obviously a meat eater. It just means he has what? Sharp teeth, right? And you need sharp teeth if you're going to chomp away in a cantaloupe or something like that. Actually, there are lots of animals today that have sharp teeth that eat mainly plants. If you take the panda, I remember going to the zoo once in San Diego with 5 million other people on the same day. And we lined up to see the panda, and the guide said, do you realize the panda evolved by evolution to get sharp teeth so it could eat meat, so now it can eat bamboo? I said to my kids, looks like it's designed to do what it does do, and it does do it very well, doesn't it? And you know what? Because of sin, God may have changed some of the animals anyway. We don't know what God did as a result of sin and the curse and so on. But originally, the animals were all vegetarian. In fact, you can imagine the Garden of Eden, maybe. You could ride dinosaurs around. This is our dinosaur sculptor, Buddy Davis, riding a dinosaur. You say, well, it's not like that today. Well, no, it's not like that today. Well, what happened? And you know what? That's the right question to ask. What happened? What changed things? Because all animals aren't vegetarian today, and we're not vegetarian today, and you know, there's violence out there in the animal kingdom. And what happened? Well, the Bible says that when God made Adam, see, when God made the first man and woman, he didn't make them be puppets to just do whatever he wanted them to do. He wanted them to love him because they wanted to love him. And so he gave them a choice. You can eat of all the trees. I'll supply you all the food you need. There's just one tree you're not to eat of, just one. And what happened? They ate of it, didn't they? And they rebelled against God. It's called sin. And in Genesis chapter 2, verse 17, God warned Adam, if you disobey, you will die. In other words, you'll start to die and you'll eventually die. That's what that phrase means. You know, this picture here from our book, A is for Adam, to me, represents the saddest day in the history of the universe. Because when Adam sinned, it changed everything. And that's why I call it the saddest day in the history of the universe. He rebelled against God. And so then God said he would judge with death. The Bible says the ground was cursed and thorns and thistles arose and so on. Bible also tells us that God killed an animal in the Garden of Eden because, you see, he made coats of skins for Adam and Eve. So he must have killed an animal and shed blood as a picture now of salvation. He covered Adam and Eve's sin. This was a picture of the message of Jesus Christ. Right there in the Garden of Eden, when Adam rebelled, you see, he could no longer live with a holy God. He forfeited his right to live with a holy God. He'd be eternally separated from God. But God wants us to live with him forever. So right back then in the Garden of Eden, God really explained to Adam and Eve the gospel. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. A picture of the fact that one day a special lamb would come, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for our sin. But you see, because of Adam's sin, the whole of creation groans and travaileth in pain, the Bible tells us. Everything is running down. In fact, you remember the world's first murderer was Cain when he killed his brother Abel. And the Bible says people became very, very wicked. In fact, by the time of a man called Noah, people had rebelled against God. And God said, I'm going to send a flood. I'm going to send a flood as a judgment on this earth because of the rebellion, because of the wickedness of man. And so he told Noah to build a great big boat, about 440 feet long, about 73 feet wide, about 44 feet high, has three stories, an enormous boat. And God said to Noah, I'm going to send to you. See, Noah didn't have to go out and get them. You ever seen some of those Christian children's books that you buy and Noah's out there, you know, lassoing animals and putting them in pens? And that's not what the Bible says. God sent the animals to Noah. And he was going to send two of every kind, seven of some, seven of the clean, but two of all the unclean, the representative kinds, to go on Noah's ark. But of course, I find a lot of people say, well, dinosaurs certainly weren't on the ark. Well, why not? Well, they were too big. They wouldn't fit, would they? Well, remember, what did I tell you? What was the average size of a dinosaur skeleton? The size of a sheep. Now, some were very big and some were smaller than that. But even the big ones, well, maybe they were just big because, you know, genetically God made them so that they would grow that way. Or maybe they were just very old and some of the dinosaurs, you know, the longer they lived, they just grew very, very big. But all dinosaurs were once small. You know why we know that? Because dinosaurs hatched out of eggs. And see, the biggest egg we found is about the size of a football. So even a stegosaurus, when he hatched out of an egg, would have been quite small. Even a T-Rex, he could have perched on your shoulder and nibbled on your ear, you know, for a little while at least anyway. And I suggest that God probably would have chosen, well, maybe teenagers, maybe not senior citizens to go on the ark. I think he would have chosen young adults to go on the ark. That would make sense for the new world, wouldn't it? And so how many dinosaurs did he need then to choose to go on the ark? Well, people say there are hundreds of names of dinosaurs. There might be hundreds of names, but there's probably less than about 50 kinds of dinosaurs. You see, if you take dogs, there's lots of varieties of dogs, but Noah only needed two dogs on the ark because dingoes, wolves, coyotes, and so on, they're just varieties of dogs. He didn't need to take all those on the ark, just two dogs. The others have developed since that time through processes we call natural selection and so on that we talked about in other programs. But when it comes to dinosaurs, many of the names are given to just a bit of bone, or they might be given to maybe a different variety in a different country, but it's really of the same kind as one found in another country and so on. When you really look at it carefully, it looks like there's probably less than 50 kinds of dinosaurs, maybe 100 dinosaurs, say sheep-sized animals to go on the ark. There was plenty of room for dinosaurs and the other animals. In fact, here's a picture of Noah's ark. Here are the animals going on board the ark. What do you notice? There's an elephant. But see the dinosaurs. You know what's sad? In most Christian children's books, if you pick them up at a Christian bookshop, you will not see dinosaurs going in the ark. Now, you will with our books, but you know why most don't have them going on the ark? Because we think they died out millions of years ago. We think they're prehistoric animals. We think they didn't live beside man. But that's because we're not starting from the Bible, putting on our biblical glasses. And if you believe they died out millions of years ago, then you've got death and disease before sin, which undermines the gospel. You know one of the sad things? When I walk into churches, into kindergarten rooms, for instance, or look in children's books, I often see Noah's Ark looking like some overloaded bathtub, the giraffe sticking out the chimney, things about to sink at any moment. And when I look at that, I get this urge to want to rip that picture up or rip it off the wall. You know why? It teaches children this is a fairy tale. You know, the world scoffs at those of us who believe in Noah's Ark and Noah's flood. Why help them scoff at that by making Noah's Ark look so ridiculous? In fact, Noah's Ark looked like a real big boat, a big barge. We had one of our artists draw a picture of Noah's Ark with a medium dinosaur and a man for scale. There was plenty of room, wasn't there? In fact, that's how Noah's Ark, we believe, really looked according to the description given in the Bible. And that makes it look like it was a real boat. And that's how we should make it look to our children and stop teaching them that it looks like some fairy tale, you know, imaginative drawing or something like that. Well, the Bible tells us that when Noah built the ark, he sent the animals to Noah. God shut the door. And then fountains of the great deep broke open all over the earth. Volcanoes, earthquakes, tidal waves. But the animals, the land animals that were on the ark were safe. What happened to those that weren't on the ark? Well, they drowned. What would you expect to find? Billions of dead things buried in rock layers laid down by water all over the earth. What do you find? Billions of dead things buried in rock layers laid down by water all over the earth. And by the way, you know what this fits with again? The fact that you can't have dead animals before sin. And so how do you explain all the billions of dead animals all around the world in the fossil record? You need lots of mud, lots of water. Well, that sounds like what? The flood of Noah's day. That's right. And I believe that's where most of your dinosaurs fit in as well. And just to show you another example, I've done this in one of the other programs, but that it doesn't take millions of years to make a fossil. Here's one of my favorite fossils. A fossil hat, they call it. It's a petrified hat. A miner left it in a mine in Australia. And then 50 years later, they dug it out and found it evolved from a soft hat into a hard hat. It doesn't take millions of years to petrify a hat. I just want you to understand that. Well, after the flood, dinosaurs came off the ark, like all the other land animals in the new world now, the destroyed world, really. They all lined up to have their photographs taken. They even made T-shirts and sold T-shirts. I survived the flood. But people say to me, they say, now look, okay, you talked about dragons and that sort of thing, but is there anything in the Bible that would indicate dinosaurs did live after the flood? Well, I believe so. In the book of Job, Job chapter 40, verses 15 to 19, God's talking to Job about this great big animal that lives beside Job called Behemoth. And God said, Job, look at this great big animal, enormous animal. In fact, verse 15 basically says it's the largest land animal God made. And then verse 17 says it moves its tail like a cedar. Now, I tell you what blows my mind. If you get some of the modern Bibles and you look in their notes down the bottom, this is always a reminder, the notes are not inspired. The text is, right? And the text is a good commentary on the notes. But if you look in the notes, they say, Behemoth, tail like a cedar. And down the bottom it says, probably hippopotamus or elephant. Now, I don't know about you, but I went to the zoo one day. People thought I was nuts. But I spent all day getting a photograph of a rear end of an elephant. And people asked me, what was I doing? And I said, behold, Behemoth, he has a tail like a cedar tree. I mean, you look at that, that looks like a little bit of reed hanging in the wind, doesn't it? You wouldn't think, you look at that and say, wow, cedar tree, first thing that comes to mind. Not at all. Well, you ever seen a hippopotamus tail? Looks like a little flap of skin, you know, blip, 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 and you say, wow, cedar tree. That's ridiculous. Actually, here's a tail that looks like a cedar tree to me. Now, do you think it fits with elephant? Absolutely not. Or how about hippopotamus? Here we are. Behold, Behemoth. Actually, do you think it fits with this one? Absolutely. What does that look like? Dinosaur. Why aren't we prepared to say Job might be talking about a dinosaur? You know why we're not prepared to say that? Because we think dinosaurs died out millions of years ago. And we'll be scoffed at by the world. Because we know dinosaurs died out millions of years ago. No, we don't. That's a belief some people have. And you can't have death before sin. Let me give you some other interesting evidence. Really interesting. Because you see, as people traveled out from the time of the Tower of Babel, when God split up languages and so on, they often drew pictures of the animals that lived in their area. We see that in caves in different places in the world. Here's a quote from an evolutionist. There is a petroglyph, which is actually a carving, in National Bridges National Monument in Utah that bears striking resemblance to a, what's this next word? Dinosaur. Here's an evolutionist saying, there's a carving the Indians have drawn in Utah. It looks like a dinosaur. You know, we sent a research team there and they got some photographs of this carving. And so I'll show you this. It's very, very hard to see. So we've computer enhanced it here so you can see, what does that look like to you? Dinosaur? In fact, we even got some special wax paper, and here's one of our researchers who's just using this wax paper to show the outline of exactly what that carving looks like. It looks like a dinosaur. Do you know this is not the only place you find such carvings or paintings as this? There are places in different parts of the world where you find this sort of evidence. You know what else is fascinating about Utah? Find this. In a canyon called Black Dragon Canyon, you find this picture. It's of a winged creature. It looks like it has a sort of a bump on its head, a crest on its head, and it looks like it has webbed feet. And it's a big flying creature in Black Dragon Canyon. A close-up will show you it's got a crest on its head, it's got webbed feet. And in fact, we had our artist draw a picture of it and compare it to, say, a bird with feathers. Now, when the Indians drew this picture, they didn't put feathers on it. It doesn't have feathers. It's got webbed feet, got a crest on its head. Do you know what is fascinating about that particular canyon in Utah? I'll tell you what's fascinating. They find fossil bones of pterodactyls in that canyon. You know what I believe? You might think I'm crazy, but I believe this. I think the Indians saw those bones flying. In other words, I think they saw those creatures. I don't believe they're millions of years old. You know, there is a lot of that sort of evidence. I can't prove to you that dinosaurs lived with people and the Indians saw dinosaurs and the Indians saw pterodactyls. I can't prove that sort of thing to you. But here's evidence that's consistent with it that the general public doesn't get to hear about, which is really, really sad. And I believe they need to hear about this. And the reason they don't get to hear about it is because it doesn't fit with evolution. That's why. You know, in Australia, not that long ago, they found a pine tree in the Blue Mountains, a Wallamai pine tree, and scientists got a shock of their lives because they thought those pine trees became extinct with the dinosaurs 65 million years ago. And one of the newspaper articles in Australia said, finding this pine tree alive today is like finding a living dinosaur. In other words, it shouldn't be here. So you know what they call it, don't you? A living fossil. And there are lots of living fossils that scientists have documented. Well, on your way to the auditorium, did you come across a sign like this? No, we didn't, did we? You might say, okay, well, if dinosaurs lived with Indians and lived in the present world, and really the dragon legends are stories of people's encounters with dinosaurs and so on, then we didn't see one on the way to the auditorium. That's right. Why not? People say, what happened to the dinosaurs? I think it's simple. I can sum it up in two words. They died. That's my explanation of what happened to the dinosaurs. But you know, as you read books, you'll find people have all sorts of theories. Some people believe they died of indigestion because they ate the wrong food, I guess. Some people believe they died of starvation. Some people believe they died of overeating, the opposite. Some people think they died during the Ice Age. Some people think they got hit by an asteroid. I mean, there's all sorts of ideas as to what happened to the dinosaurs. But I think they died because of sin and the curse. I mean, that's very, very simple, isn't it? And the way the world has been affected by man's sin. See, you know, there are some scientists today who even think that maybe there is a living dinosaur somewhere in the world. Maybe in the Congo, in Central Africa. There's a beast there called Mikili Mamembi that natives describe that fits the description of a dinosaur. And even some evolutionary scientists are prepared to say maybe, just maybe, there's a living dinosaur in the world today. But people still say to me, but I still don't understand, why did the dinosaurs die out? Think about this. Where I live, we're not far from a zoo. The Cincinnati Zoo has one of the world's leading endangered species program. If you went to the zoo and said, Mr. Scientist, yes, why do you have a leading endangered species program? Why do we have an endangered species program? Because animals are dying out all the time. 1 to 3 species of animals die out each day from this earth. Look at this long list of animals that have died out. And we're trying to save the animals. This one, there's only 6 left in the wild. This one, there's not many. And look at all these that have already died out. Animals are dying out all the time. Huh. Well, why do animals become extinct? Why do animals become extinct? It's obvious. Lots of reasons. Just look around, man. You can see. You know, people killing them, diseases, genetic mistakes, catastrophes, clearing land. There's lots of reasons. Everyone knows that. Ah, what happened to the dinosaurs? Why did they become extinct? We don't know. You know what? The same reasons that cause animals to become extinct today, the same reasons dinosaurs became extinct. Do you know why it's such a mystery to us? Because we think they died out millions of years ago. But if you put on your biblical glasses and you start from the Bible and you build your thinking and you start from creation, a perfect world marred by sin and death, the flood of Noah's day, come up to the present, guess what? There's no mystery about dinosaurs. They're real easy to understand. In fact, you know what I call dinosaurs? I call dinosaurs missionary lizards. You know why I call them missionary lizards? Because you can preach the gospel using dinosaurs. I got people in church who are shocked, but dinosaurs have nothing to do with the gospel. Actually, when you think of dinosaurs, we find their skeletons. What do we notice about their skeletons? They're dead. When did death come into the world? Because of sin. And the wages of sin are death. And because Adam sinned, we sinned, right? God provided an ark of salvation during the flood of Noah's day. The flood buried many animals. That's where we find dead things in the fossil record. And the ark of salvation for Noah is a picture of the ark of salvation for us, the Lord Jesus Christ. You see how you can use dinosaurs to preach the gospel? They're missionary lizards. And you know, dinosaurs are used probably more than anything to try to convince people the Bible's not true in our world today, and to try to convince people that they're a product of evolution and so on, and that we're just a product of evolution. We need to go out and show people the Bible explains dinosaurs and let them see some of this fascinating evidence consistent with what the Bible teaches about the history of the world. I really would like to recommend to you a number of materials that can help you further in your studies. We have a little booklet called Dinosaurs in the Bible, which is a great witnessing booklet to give away to people to present the gospel to them using dinosaurs. Also, I have a book called The Great Dinosaur Mystery Solved, which not only teaches you about dinosaurs, it's for teenagers and adults, but it teaches you how to start from the Bible and connect the Bible to dinosaurs. And then D is for Dinosaur, a great book for children with lots of teaching notes for mums and dads to teach children about dinosaurs in the Bible. And Buddy Davis has a book out, The Great Alaskan Dinosaur Adventure, all about going to Alaska and finding those dinosaur bones and helping us to understand that we can really use the Bible in our world today to connect with the real world and explain the real world and explain dinosaurs. Thank you.
For more information on Answers in Genesis, call toll-free 1-800-350-3232 or visit our website, answersingenesis.org.